Some of you just need to go ahead and shout, because that's what's in you. Lift your voice out tonight. In the name of Jesus, by the authority of the Word of God, by the power of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Wonderful. You can feel the tremendous hunger and the tremendous reaching in the Spirit for the genuine power of God. If there has ever been an hour when we needed the genuine power of the Spirit of God, it is in this hour. And so I come to you tonight simply to say, I am not a traditional Pentecostal. I am an apostolic Pentecostal. And there is a vast difference. A vast difference. And with that in mind, I want to read to you tonight from the book of Acts, chapter 5. I want to draw your attention to these verses, passages of Scripture. Acts chapter 5, beginning at verse 14. This is our heritage. This is what we belong to right here. Here in Acts 5 and 14, the Bible says, "And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them." It's a new doctrine, and I'm sure there were those that opposed it. "There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one." If you look in the book of Acts, chapter 19, verse 11 and 12, here is a similar happening, but now it's with the Apostle Paul. It says here, in Acts 19 and 11, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them. You can feel the tremendous hunger and the tremendous reaching in the Spirit for the genuine power of God. If there has ever been an hour when we needed the genuine power of the Spirit of God, it is in this hour. And so I come to you tonight simply to say, I am not a traditional Pentecostal. I am an apostolic Pentecostal. And there is a vast difference. A vast difference. And with that in mind, I want to read to you tonight from the book of Acts, chapter 5. I want to draw your attention to these verses, passages of Scripture. Acts chapter 5, beginning at verse 14. This is our heritage. This is what we belong to right here. Here in Acts 5 and 14, the Bible says, "And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them." It's a new doctrine, and I'm sure there were those that opposed it. "There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one." If you look in the book of Acts, chapter 19, verse 11 and 12, here is a similar happening, but now it's with the Apostle Paul. It says here in Acts 19 and 11, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them." Last night, Brother Ethan preached powerfully on spiritual warfare. And on one hand, we do have that. But on the other hand, and this is the subject I want to talk with you about tonight, on the other hand, there are in this hour powerful manifestations of God. Would you lift your hands, your voices, and your hearts before your seat, and would you pray from the very deep of you that God will do with us in this place tonight exactly what He wants to do? Lord Jesus, I rebuke all fear now in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Take away all inhibition from your people tonight. Let there be revelation and understanding. Help us to be anointed by the authority of the Word of God, by the power of the name of Jesus. Bind us together in one mind and one accord. I pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Jesus, I'm asking you that you will anoint these lips of clay and cause me to speak as an oracle of the Lord. Fill our minds and hearts with what thus saith the Lord. Lift us to a new plateau of expectancy and receiving from the realm of the powerful. In the Holy Ghost, I praise you tonight for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Thank you for standing so long. You may be seated. Would you clap one more time and just... King David said to clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. And I feel triumph in this house tonight. And because Jesus is here, anything can happen. Anything is possible in the presence of the Lord. Nothing shall be impossible to them that believe. Jesus. Several years ago, there was a scientific experiment conducted in the east part of this country. Scientists got together and they took a large aquarium and they put a northern pike fish in this aquarium. I don't know how much you know about northern pike fish, but they have very sharp razor-like teeth in their mouth. And they threw in an abundance of minnows, live bait every day, that swam around this large northern pike. And he fared sumptuously. He ate his fill day after day after day. But one day, the scientists came back and they put in that aquarium an invisible shield and they separated it into two parts. It was clear glass. All the live bait was gone, had been devoured yesterday. But on the other side of that invisible shield, they dropped in a number of live minnows. And the pike, being hungry, he went, swam around, and he went after them as the four times. But he hit that invisible shield and bounced back. And it was a shock. It was not the normal for him. And so he didn't go after them for a while. But hunger, everyone say, hunger. Hunger drove him again to go after the food that he so desperately needed. And again, he went after them. But he hit that clear glass and bounced back. Hunger kept driving him until, in the end result, his mouth, it was just snout, it was just all torn up. And then the scientist noticed one day that the pike no longer tried to get the live bait. At that point, they pulled out the invisible shield and the live fish and bait just swam all around the pike. But the pike made absolutely no effort to go after them because he had become programmed in his mind that no matter how hard he tried, he could not get the bait. And he died of starvation with everything he needed swimming around him. You and I are a part of the greatest thing that exists in this entire world. This Holy Ghost power, this apostolic power and authority. But the devil has somehow placed, as it were, invisible shields in our respective lives
and we've gone after healing, for example, and hit some kind of an invisible shield and bounced back, or we've gone after the anointing to be used by God and hit some kind of a shield, and we have hit so many shields that we've reached the place, I'm sorry to tell you, for many of us, that the very thing that we need so desperately is just swirling around us, and we no longer make any effort to get it. Because we've become programmed. It may happen for someone else, but it won't happen for me. They may have it, but I can't get it. I don't know how you feel tonight, but I'll tell you exactly how I feel. I intend to smash the shield. I intend to smash it. I will have it. I will have it. We will have it. It will happen for me. It will happen for you. If you believe that, would you clap your hands uproariously? And would you shout with a voice of determination? Jesus of Nazareth, blessed be the name of Jesus forever. Hallelujah. Let me ask you here tonight. Let me ask you authoritatively. If it's not us, then who is it? If we don't have it, then who does? Where is she? Where is he? I want to meet him. I want to meet her because I do not want to have missed it. The Word of God, in my experience, screams the affirmative. I have not missed it. I have got it. I've got that which the apostles had of old. This same Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will do it again. We have the power, the resurrection power of Almighty God inside of us. I'm here tonight to tell you, I don't know where you came from. I don't know what your past is, but you can come from anything to this. But you cannot go from this to anything else because there's nothing else to go to. This is the end of the line. Jesus said, I will make you free. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I am free. Get to thinking about that, we won't go any farther. I'm free of every other ideology, every other doctrine, every other dogma, every other religion. You'll never convert me. I've got it, and I know that I've got it. What have I got? I've got that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. I'm one of them. Jesus, it is now estimated that there are at least 1 billion people in the world that have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost speaking with tongues. About 5 years ago, I got a hold of a report that said someone had done a survey in the world, and they are saying that somewhere in the world, every 18 seconds, someone receives the baptism of the Holy Ghost speaking with tongues. I don't know what that does to you, but I'll tell you what it does to me. It puts a dance in my feet. It puts a clap in my hands. It puts a shout in my voice. It puts a determination inside of me. It does something to me that nothing else has done. Because he said, in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. People, it's not coming. It is here. If it is appropriate, grab the hand of the person next to you and say, I've got what he's talking about. Oh, I feel like shouting it. I just feel like screaming it tonight because I'm free. My soul has been set free. This Jesus is alive.
Thank God our God is not dead in a grave, but the grave is empty. The tomb is empty, but my heart is full. The cross is empty, but he is alive. I can feel him in my hands. I can feel him in my feet. I can feel him in my heart. I can feel him in my soul. And obviously you do too in this place here tonight. Hallelujah.
Jesus. There is such a desperation. I feel such a desperation in this hour. In April of last year, something happened that has really intensified that. I was with Brother Rick Marcelli in Covington, Louisiana. I do an annual meeting for them. And we've had some marvelous things happen. And people have gotten the Holy Ghost. And all kinds of things have taken place there. There is another pastor in that area. His name is Marvin Poole. Been a friend of mine for a long time. And those churches around Brother Marcelli's church get together and they help to sponsor that meeting. So they're all involved in this particular thrust of outreach. Well, in the area there where Brother Poole lives, there was a woman, probably between 25 and 30, somewhere in there, just driving alone in her car. And suddenly a voice spoke out loud in the car and said, "Get baptized." And it shook her, and she just blurted out, "I have been baptized." But there was no one in the car. Powerful manifestations are upon us in this hour. She drove a little bit farther, and again the voice said, "Get baptized." It so shook her, she went home and got her Bible. And got to reading and realized from reading she had not been baptized correctly. She had become acquainted with some of our people, some of Brother Poole's people in that general area, and called them to talk about what she had heard, this voice, and what she had discovered. They said, "Look, there's a meeting going on right now over in Brother Marcelli's church. Please come and go to this meeting tonight." So she came. I had been apprised of the story. I knew her story. So I knew who she was when she came in. They had told what had happened. And so they baptized her in Jesus' name at the end of that service. I didn't close my eyes. I didn't bow my head. I stood back and just watched to see what would happen. I mean, I lifted my hands and prayed with my eyes open, but I just watched. When she came out of the water, she lifted her hands and began to worship God, and God filled her with the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the water. It was wonderful. And people shouted and worshiped God. It was glorious. But the most horrible conviction came upon me because God spoke to me and he said, "If I can't get my saints to testify of it, if I can't get my preachers to preach it, I'll tell them myself." That's how desperate the Lord is to reach the hungry and the thirsty and the lost before he comes. My God in heaven, people, we ought to do something with what we've got a hold of like we've never done before. We've got nothing to lose. It does not matter what anybody thinks. It doesn't matter what anybody says. I couldn't care less. I've got it and I know that I've got it. You understand me? I was lost, but now I'm found. I was dead, but now I'm alive. I'm on my way to heaven. I've got a right to shout, dance, scream, run, do whatever I want to do. They do it in the world for discos and bars. Why shouldn't we do it in the house of God for one who is alive, who has saved us, who has redeemed us, who has restored us, who has forgiven us? My sins are gone. My sins are gone. Take a hold of someone near you and just shake them a little bit and say, "Get with the program." Oh.
things I've noticed in this last couple of years, the Holy Ghost is going wherever they really want him. But if you don't want him, he'll just go on down the road. He won't even bother to stop at your program. He's not going to do it. But those who want it, those who want the real thing, are finding it. And something from ancient days is hanging in the air, Brother Black, among us like never before. I don't want to be just a Pentecostal. I don't want to just be filled with inspiration. I want to be an apostolic Pentecostal. I want to have the anointing of God in my life. Inspiration comes from many sources. You can become inspired over a ball game, a concert. That's why people stumble out of theaters weeping and crying, because of inspiration. Inspiration has many sources, but anointing has only one source. It comes from God. You can have your inspiration, but I'll take the anointing. I'll take the anointing, because the anointing breaks the yoke of bondage. It breaks it. Hallelujah. This past November, I went back to Sydney, Australia again to do the annual meeting that I've done there for a number of years. And most of you know what happened there in my life in 2003 in November. But I went back. I've been going back every year. We had a tremendous weekend, just tremendous. People came. There were about 18 that got the Holy Ghost just over the weekend. Six were baptized. And four of those were two Filipino pastors and their wives. And they didn't understand how to be baptized correctly, but we baptized them correctly. And the next day, they went out to all the Filipino churches in the city, telling about the oneness of God and baptism in Jesus' name. It was wonderful. But there was a woman in the service, and there were all kinds of visitors there because of the kind of advertising they had done. There was a woman, and I was in the altar service, working in my way of doing things, when I came upon a woman that was bent over like this, and she had a shoulder that was terribly damaged. She just couldn't straighten. And she was a visitor. And I walked up to her, and I took her hand that was hanging down, the one that was hanging lower than the other arm, with this shoulder. And I looked in her eyes, and I said, "Mother, if after what you've heard preached here tonight, do you believe when I pray in Jesus' name that you'll be healed and straightened?" She said, "Yes, I do." And her daughter was watching. I took a hold of that hand and began to raise it and pray in Jesus' name. And I watched that body just straighten up, just exactly like that. She was miraculously healed. Powerful manifestations of God. They had it in the beginning, and we're going to have it in the end. Not just here and there, but everywhere. It's the will of God. Something is trying to come in upon us. How many of you here tonight want to be a part of the real power of Almighty God? Obviously you do. That's why you're here. That's why you are worshiping the way you are. Many of you have sacrificed to get here. You've sacrificed to get to this place. And your sacrifice is not in vain. There's healing in the house. There's deliverance in the house here tonight. Anything can happen. Anything can happen here. Anything can happen. Anything is possible, because Jesus is here. And where he is, nothing is impossible. When that daughter saw that, she began to cry. There was another young woman that grabbed me. And she, after she saw that, she said, "Your brother's talking." I said, "Yes." She said, "My mother is here." She said she was nearly cut totally in half in a car accident. And the doctors just sewed her together. She said, "But Stonking, she can't stand, she can't walk. She's just in misery all the time. So would you pray for her?" And I'm down in the middle of just, I don't know how many hundreds of people. I said, "Where is she?" I said, take me to her. So she started. She took me clear over here to this end. The lady was on the end seat there. And so the seat beside her was empty. I sit down beside her, and I reach my hands over to her. And I said again, I said, Mother, do you believe when I pray for you in Jesus' name that God will heal you? The tears began to run down her cheeks. And she said, yes, yes, I do believe. I took a hold of this hand on this side, and I just began to raise it up slowly like that. And I could feel it just come right up. But when it got all the way up as far as it would go, I kept on pulling, and she came to her feet. She stood. And all of a sudden, she began to smile, just like you're smiling, because she realized she was being healed, and she took off walking. She just took off walking. God miraculously healed her. She was miraculously healed. I feel that kind of power in this place tonight. I feel that kind of power in this house tonight. And once miracles like that happen, it's like the floodgates open for everyone. There was a doctor there, and prominent, impressive looking, in carriage, self-presentation, dress, etc. Had it all together. But what was very interesting to me is that I happened to walk across, pushing my way through, and here stood this man, this doctor, doing this. Well, the way he was dressed, that looked a bit strange. Just, what's this guy in this nice suit doing, just kicking like this? I mean, there's no one there to kick, he's just kicking the air. So I said to him, I said, what is it? He said, for the Stone King. He said, my knee was injured in an athletic event. There's no help for me in the medical society. They can't help me. He said, but look, he said, God has healed my knee. He said, God has healed my knee. God just miraculously healed him. Oh. And so I just... And the next night, he brought his father to the service. He said, my father needs this. Whatever it is, give it to him. Prayed for his father, and God touched his father. Just like God will touch you, and he'll touch you, and he'll touch you, and he'll touch you. He'll touch anybody here in this place tonight. Then there was a young man, a teenager, who walked up to me, and right in my face, he just shoved his hand right in my face and began to go like this. Well, I've seen enough by this time. Nothing is surprising me, okay? So he's just going like, I said, what is it? He said, Brother Stone King, my wrist was broken, nearly broken. He said, I haven't been able to move it or bend it for weeks and weeks. He said, but something happened here in the service. He said, look, there's no pain. He said, my wrist is just totally healed. Another girl who had her ankle out of place and was going to have it put back in surgically, she just walking along, all of a sudden her ankle just snapped in the presence of God, and God put it back in place. What I'm saying is, if you can feel the Holy Ghost here tonight, you don't need me to uncork a bottle of oil or lay hands on you or call you out. If you can feel the Holy Ghost, you can be healed right there where you're seated. Right there where you're seated, right there where you're standing, in the balcony, on the platform, anywhere, because the gift of faith is in this house tonight. Oh. Manifestations are in the earth tonight. I have a very wonderful, wonderful friendship with a lovely couple that's here tonight. Brother and Sister Dan Adams from Alexandria, Louisiana. Would you stand for just a moment? God bless you. I'm thrilled that you are here. They are wonderful friends of mine. They have their own business, and God has blessed them because they've given and given and given and given. But they've heard me talk and others talk about taking this gospel to the streets. It's a stinking, rotten shame, if you don't mind my saying it that way in common everyday street vernacular. It is a rotten shame that what we're seeing and feeling in here tonight is locked inside these four walls. What a tragedy. What would happen if we had this whole congregation downtown in the center of Memphis acting down there like you're acting here? What do you think would happen? I'll tell you what would happen. There'd be a crowd gathered because they've never seen anybody like you. They've never seen anything like this. And they would come. Some would come to mock, some would come to scoff. But I'll tell you what, there's a fire burning. There's a fire burning. There's a fire burning. And if they got close to it, the fire would get a hold of them. Hallelujah! Hallelujah, Jesus. God, set us free here tonight. Release us from the bondage of fear. Help us, as it were, to smash the shield, to smash it in the name of Jesus. I believe, Brother Black, with all of my heart, there's coming a day when it will go to the streets like we've never seen it before. You may be seeing, at any rate, Dan and Dia Adams, they decided they'd take it to the streets. And so they started. And I stay in contact with them. And they tell me, I think it was their first street meeting, they had over 400 visitors in their first street meeting. They tell me that now they have baptized over 100 people in Jesus' name on the street. And I've lost track of how many have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost on the streets. And the police hasn't stopped them. And the atheists haven't stopped them. And the liberals haven't stopped them. You know what? Because they can't stop it. Nobody can stop the move of God. There's not a government. There's not an ism. The Roman Empire couldn't do it. And they will not stop us in the end result. They will not stop us. The power, the demonstration of the Spirit of God in power. Hallelujah. Oh. Dan told me on the phone one day, he said, Brother Stone King, he said there was a woman that was crippled somehow. She heard about the meeting. She wanted to come to the meeting but had no way to get there. So she decided she'd take her cane and she'd walk to get to this meeting. Dan told me and Dia told me that she came to the meeting, walked, desperate to get there, hungry. In the meeting, she was healed right on the street. Just lifted that cane and was healed on the street. That's why in the beginning they shook their world, because the miracles happened on the streets and there was nothing that could stop it. I remember years ago when Brother J.T. Pugh was Home Missions Director, one of the general conferences, he asked me to be involved with a street meeting they were having. And they had flatbeds out there and music and all kinds of preaching and singing, whatever. So we went. And I want to tell you, those teenagers came out of the woodwork, out of the shadows that night. They were just all over the place. Well, there were a lot of us Pentecostals there too. So these teenagers, they kept getting closer and closer to this big platform. They were just very interested, you know. But they didn't realize that we were behind them, and we were sort of closing in. We made a big circle around them. Just sort of, these kids just kept coming up to the front. And then we got them up there. We just sort of joined hands. Well, these kids turned around and looked, and they saw that they were encircled with people that looked like you. They didn't know what to do. And one boy, I'll never forget, he hit the cement on his hands and knees, and he tried to crawl through my legs, and I pinned him in just like that. I wouldn't let him out. And I got down and said, "Son, this is the greatest thing that will ever happen to you." And God gave that boy the Holy Ghost on the street. On the street. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I just want to do it. I just want to do it. There's a recklessness about me. There's an excitement in my heart, in my life, in my soul. Oh. I preached the West Virginia Youth Conference a few months ago. There were about 1,400 teenagers, for the most part, young people in that conference. Powerful. All those kids worshiped. Oh, we had a tremendous time of it. And all kinds of things happened. There were healing. And they were climbing over the seats, praying for each other. I was telling Brother Black today, we had a wonderful lunch and fellowship. And I told him, I said, that most of the things that are now happening in the meetings where I'm going, I'm not the one that has anointed them, laid hands on them, or prayed for them. It's the believers that have listened, that have come to believe they can do it. And so these miracles are happening at the hands of believers, because it is written, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They, believers, shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So what the people are beginning to understand is, hey, we can do this. We don't have to wait a whole another year till Brother Stone King comes back or Brother Black comes back. We can have this all year long, with or without him. And that's the greatest thing I can do for you, is to get you to understand that it's in your hands. It's in your hands. You can have it no matter where you go, no matter what church you're from. These signs shall follow them that believe. It's in Jesus' name. You've got that power. You've got that power. And if you ever get a hold of what I'm talking about, you will become a fanatic. You will become a fanatic, because nothing will hold you. Grab the hand of the person next to you. Throw your hands in there and say, "God, let it fall upon us here tonight. Let this power, let this faith, let this belief fall upon us here tonight in this place." Yes. That's it. God answers prayer. "Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Hallelujah! Jesus, may be seated. How many of you believe that God heard you? How many of you believe that you got what you asked for? Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. In this youth convention, there was a young couple.
They had just come back from PIM work, Partners in Mission, in foreign soil. And they grabbed me and they said, "Brother Stone King, we were in this one place preaching. And they said, we just went in through the jungles and in through the area and just preached out in the open. They said, we came to this one village, this one place. And they said, we noticed as we walked along this path-like road into the village, there was this huge tree right along the road there, the road path. And every branch was just hanging full of bones, been tied with strings and feathers. Because there was a woman witch in that area that controlled, ruled over that entire village. And those bones and feathers had been offered as sacrifices of some kind of worship to the domain that she occupied and was possessed by. So they went into the area and they were preaching out in the open. And some of the crowd began to move because this witch got word that somebody, some Christians had come and they were preaching in her domain. That always messes the devil up. It always does. She came running toward them with what power she thought she had. And when they saw her coming and realized who she was, they threw their hands in the air and said, "In Jesus' name!" And that witch fell to the ground. They ran around her and prayed for her, and God forgave her sins. She repented, and God filled her with the Holy Ghost. But here is the thing that I'll never forget. They said, "Brother Stone King, when that woman witch began to speak with tongues without any human being near it, that tree along the path road burst into flames and burned totally up and fell to the ground." People, that's Book of Acts activity. Powerful manifestations are coming into the earth. I'm not talking to you about something that happened 2,000 years ago. It's happening now. It's happening now. It's happening to us. It's happening among us in our day. Hallelujah. Oh. Hallelujah. Just a couple of months ago, I came from Okinawa, Japan. I don't know how much you know about Japan, but the spirit world there is very, very, very bad. It's exhausting because they're into ancestral worship. And it's the immorality there is practically unspeakable in some areas. It's a very sophisticated kind of immorality, but nevertheless, it's very bad. So you have all of that to break through to try to reach the people. And it was their national conference. And there were people there from Tokyo, and there were people there from Okinawa and various other places. But one night, we had a move of God. People got the Holy Ghost. It was wonderful. But one night, there was an aged Japanese man that came in. He had cancer in his throat. They had cut so much of the tissues away that you could tell he was just really heavily scarred. But in the process, because of the cutting to get the cancer, they had cut the nerves between the neck that went into the right arm, and the right arm was no longer usable. It just was motionless. It just would hang down. He could tap his fingers against his leg like this if he was standing, but that's all it could do. The arm was no longer, it could no longer function. But one night, they told me that he was there. I walked back to him. Distinguished looking gentleman, white hair. I just reached down and took a hold of his hand on this right arm that was crippled now. You know, I've got nothing to lose. by doing that. You see, we're so afraid of our reputations. The only reputation I've got is what he gave me. He can take it like that. But as long as I'm free to exercise it, I'm going to go at it. No matter what you think or anybody else thinks, it doesn't matter to me. When you get to that point, it'll begin to happen for you. I just took a hold of his hand, and his wife was there, some of his relatives. They're not in the church, they're just visitors. And I began to raise his hand up in Jesus' name, looking right in his eyes, praying. And as I pulled up on his arm, I could feel that he wasn't coming up totally after a few seconds. By my power of pulling, he was actually doing it on his own. I pulled it all the way up, and God healed him miraculously, seated right there in the audience on that chair. When the people saw that, they began to cry out. It was like a revelation swept through the place. They said, God will do it for the Japanese. He will do it for Japan. It's not just in Africa. It's not just in other countries. He will do it for the Japanese. And faith swept across that place. And the missionaries began to cry. And the pastors began to reach out and sob. And God filled several with the Holy Ghost that night. The next night, that man was back with his family. And I began to refer to him in my preaching. On his own, Brother Black, he just stood and lifted both hands to God and began to worship the Lord and praise him. And the Spirit of God swept through that place. I don't know what you've got going on in your area. I don't know what you've got going on where you go to church, but I want to be involved with this type of thing. I'm not interested in coming to church and just going through the motions. You can have it. I want something to happen. Something needs to happen. Somebody needs to get healed. Somebody needs to get delivered. Somebody needs to get baptized. Something needs to happen. It's supposed to happen. Where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst of them. He's there. Hallelujah. It was wonderful. Brother and Sister Bracken, missionaries to Taiwan, China, they're wonderful friends of mine, personal friends. They were just in my home for a few days. And we were sharing a lot of things. And they told me that this is the most incredible thing. They told me that they had been into mainland China, and they go in there on their own at their own expense sometimes. And I've helped them raise money to do that because their budget from foreign missions does not cover all of that. But if you have friends, you can be covered. So we are covering some of us for them. And they go in there, they go up in these villages, and they preach. And those people get baptized in Jesus' name and get the Holy Ghost. And the government doesn't even know they're in there. And they all speak Chinese. His children speak Chinese. His daughter writes it. And they just get away with it. I'm thinking of a lot of things right now. If you speak with tongues, you're really a foreigner to this world. Do you know that? They told me the story. They said, Brother Stone King, in mainland China, the leader of the underground church in China, I just found this out when I was in Okinawa. They now say there are over 50 million believers in the underground church in China. Most of them are baptized in Jesus' name because they've never heard anything else. There was one oneness apostolic preacher that they could never get through the Cultural Revolution. They never could catch him. And that's all he ever preached. And so it spread through the underground church. And that's the only thing they know. See, they can fight you, they can fight me, but they can't fight the God that serves us. And he serves us well. They cannot fight the God we serve. We are his children. He has promised, if you'll go, I'll go with you. If you'll say it, I'll back it. If you'll do it, I'll confirm it. The leader of the underground church in China said boldly, "The book of Acts is our guide for life." They live like that every day, every day, every day, every day. Here, if there's a snowflake, a raindrop, a sore throat, or some other excuse, a sale, we don't bother to go to church. But there, every time they go to church, they lay their life on the line. They may be killed for it, but it doesn't stop them. That's how much they love Jesus. That's how much they love the truth. That's how much they love it. He said there were two teenage girls that got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, in mainland China. Teenagers. Everyone say teenagers. Teenagers. They decided, they were reading the New Testament, they saw how Jesus sent them out by twos. So these two teenage Chinese girls decided they'd go out as a team and begin to go into these villages and places and preach the gospel. Teenagers. And they had what I think is quite novel, but it's almost too biblical to make any sense to us. They would go into a village and say, "What's the main problem here?" And whatever they've told them, that's what they'd fight and preach against and go at it. Isn't that novel? Every place they went, they'd find out what the main problem was there and they'd go after that. And all kinds of things were happening for these two teenage girls. They'd spoken with tongues, been to water in Jesus' name. Those are the qualifications. That's your PhD, your doctor of divinity. That's everything. That's everything. I preached in one place, and there was a prominent couple there, and they were quite wealthy. And they had come, and evidently they were impressed because they waited at the end of the service to meet me. And they met me. They said, "Brother Stone King, you are a degreed individual, aren't you?" I said, "Yes. Yes, I am." They said, they were quite impressed. They said, "How far have you got?" I said, "I have a master's degree." Oh, they were just almost ready to applaud. I said, "He's the master and I got him." I mean, that's exactly where it is. Hallelujah. So in that sense, everybody here, you've got a master's degree. You talk about education. You've got it. So these two teenage girls went into this one village, and immediately the villagers came, and the girls said, "What is the main problem here that you fight?" They said, "There is a male witch that controls this village. No one enters and no one leaves without his permission." The girl said, "Take us to him." The villagers said, No, we cannot take you to him. We can't. You don't want to meet him." The girl said, "Yes, we do." They said, "No, you don't want to meet him. You don't have any idea how bad he is." They said, "Take us to him." So the villagers took the two girls, began to walk toward where this man lived. As they began to approach, this male witch saw them coming and came running out of his place of residence to attack them. And the girls just stood as he came running toward them, and they raised both hands and said, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." And the male witch froze in midair just like this. He just froze. He couldn't move. When the villagers saw that, they came running and said, "This God you serve, we want him. We want this kind of power. We want this kind of power." And the whole village was baptized in Jesus' name. I'm not talking about something 2,000 years ago. Now. It's happening among us. I'm a part of that. You are a part of that. We are a part of that. Hallelujah. And I close with this. There are so many things I could tell you. Powerful manifestations of
God are happening in the earth in this hour. In December, I was in Malaysia at the camp meeting that Singapore holds there. To this camp meeting in Malaysia this year, there were delegates from all over. They came from Bangladesh. They were there from Pakistan. They were there from India. They were there from Sri Lanka. They were there from Hawaii. They were there from Japan, Hong Kong, Australia, America, Northern Malaysia, Singapore. It was just amazing to be among those wonderful, wonderful people. From the delegation that came from Pakistan, there was a young man, 23 years of age, handsome young individual, married, beautiful wife, two children. His father pastors, I think, the largest church in Lahore, Pakistan. And this young man is on fire for God. And every night, the meeting, the camp meeting is only about 4 nights long. Every night, he would come down and he would lift his hands and just dance and sway. Well, I know something about the culture in that country, and I know that probably most men in that culture don't act like that. They have their culture, they have their rules and do's and don'ts. And I noticed the other men that were with him, they were really watching him, because he was just the exception. But you know, there's something called envy and jealousy. And I suppose in some cases it's good. In this case it was. Those other men that came with him saw him down there every night just going out and having a big time. And they got a little bit envious, I think. So they came down and decided they would try it out. So they got to I mean, it's hard to be seated beside somebody who's just worshiping and laughing and having a big time and you not get into it. So by the time was over, they were all into it. Well, this young man's name is Asif. Asif Jamali. Every night he would dance and worship God. He was so hungry. He would sit on the edge of his seat for the preaching. And he worshiped in the audience. But when it was preaching, he'd come down and he'd start dancing and worshiping God. He'd just stay there with his eyes closed. But he'd always fall on the floor. He'd get just tired, I suppose. He just would wear himself out. He'd just fall on the floor, stretch his hands out, and lie there on the floor and speak with tongues. So I was accustomed to seeing this for 3 nights. But the fourth night, there was such a move of God. He came down and he was worshiping and shouting. And then all of a sudden, he just fell out on the floor. And he was crying and speaking with tongues. And literally, I'm not exaggerating, there were just pools of water from the tears under his face who had been lying on the floor. Well, there is a young Chinese boy from the church in Singapore under the Willoughbys. The kid is zealous. He is on fire for God. Well, he sees Asif lying here, so he comes up and grabs Brother Asif's wrist and just wants to pray with him, you know, like we do. And I happened to be close by, so I saw, and Brother Asif just pushed him away, never opened his eyes, just pushed him away. But this boy is zealous. He didn't give up. He came back and grabbed him again. And Brother Asif just really pushed him away, and his eyebrows knit, and he never opened his eyes, but just pushed him away. Well, the boy backed off at this point. Well, I was afraid maybe his feelings would be hurt or something. I didn't want him to be offended. So I grabbed this young Chinese boy and I say, look, don't be offended. He's just really into God. I had no idea how much, though. I said, he's just really into God. So the boy just laughed and took off and went and grabbed somebody else, began to pray for them. That's the way to do it. You know what I mean? That's the way to do it. So I happened to be there sometime later when Brother Asif stopped praying. He stood to his feet and his eyes were swollen. And he came to me and he said, Brother Stone King, he said, I am sorry. I don't want to offend that boy. He said, but what you don't know, Brother Stone King, is when you finish preaching, he said, Jesus came walking into this room, into this service. He said, the reason I pushed that boy away is because Because when I was lying on the floor, Jesus walked up to me and I had a hold of his feet and I could not let go. If God is doing things like this among us in this hour, if God is so desperate to reach us, I'm here to prophesy to you tonight to tell you some of you are headed for some of the most unusual encounters with your experience in the Holy Ghost that you have ever had in all the years you've had the Holy Ghost. Something is happening among our people. There are manifestations of God, powerful manifestations of God beginning to come in upon us. I'm not going to sit back and criticize. If God wants to do it for you, I will laud you on. I will applaud. If he wants to do it for me, Brother Brown, I want it. I want it. If he'll come into this ship, I'll hold on to his feet. I'll hold on to his hands. I just want to touch him. I just want to touch him. I don't want to just know about him. I want to know him. And then, I finish with this. From Sri Lanka, our missionary there, his name is Prince Matthias, one of the most incredible people I think I've ever met. He had a whole group of men with him for his delegation from that country to the conference, to the camp meeting. I've been in this for 42 years. I've been to general conferences. I've been in many parts of the world. Preached in big meetings. I've met a lot of people. But I've never seen anyone like them. The Spirit of God around them was so real. It just made Jesus real. I could feel God just around them. Well, I want to be close to people like that. So I asked them if I could have lunch with them just to feel what I could feel coming from them. The camaraderie among them, it was overwhelming. I've never seen anything like it. And this last night, there was one of their preachers, a tall, athletic-looking individual. He was pastoring a church, had opened a church very near what is considered to be the Buddhist holy city in that area. And they had sent killers to kill this young preacher 3 times because he dared to open a Christian church not too far from what they considered to be their Buddhist holy city. But each priest that they sent to kill him, to murder him, died a horrible, horrible death. And the government somehow or other got alerted to all of it and gave this man permission to open his Christian church and gave Prince Matthias dual citizenship in the country, which they never do. It is written, if God be for us, who can be against us? I mean, listen to me tonight. If God is for me, it doesn't matter about you or them. If God is for me, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. If God is for me, I'm going to make it. Hallelujah. So I told you that to give you the background. This young man, the power of God hit this preacher. He came running down to the front, fell out on his back, and curled up with his knees almost to his chin. He looked like a human circle. And he threw his hands and began to roll back and forth. I've never seen anything like that. The men that came with him from Sri Lanka came and like spokes in a wagon wheel, put their heads toward him and made this tremendous wheel around him, and the worship and almost the whole audience gathered around and began to worship and cry out to God. I stood there just crying. I've never seen anything like it. So I was very much impressed. In fact, to tell you the truth, after I met them, I honestly felt like I needed to go through someplace and really pray myself through. That's exactly what I felt like. And I don't mind telling you that. They were just some of the greatest Christians ever met. Well, Prince Matthias said something to me that has just had a tremendous effect on me. He said, Brother Stone King,
I know you're busy and you're carrying a burden for this meeting, he said, but I just want 10 minutes of your time during this camp meeting. I said, Brother Matthias, there's no problem at all. I said, after lunch today, I said, just come by where I'm staying and we'll talk for a few minutes, whatever you like. He said, thank you. And so I went back to my room after lunch, and he came by after a while, knocked on the door, and he came in. He said, I just want 10 minutes of your time. He said, Brother Stone King, he said, when I first went to Sri Lanka, he said, the spirit world was very bad. He said, I prayed and cried to God. He said, there were attacks on my life. They tried to poison me to death. He said, all kinds of things happened. He said, but God always protected me. He said, and I had cried to God and interceded. He said, one day I was in my office. He said, out of nowhere, he said, a man just walked into my office, dressed like men in the Sri Lankan culture. He said, I'd never seen him before. He said, so I said to him, he said, I was surprised. I wasn't expecting anyone. He said, I didn't feel fear. I felt peace. He seemed very kind, a very kind man. He said, so I said to him, what is your name? And he said, the man looked at me and just smiled and shook his head gently and said, it doesn't matter what my name is. He said, I've only come to be a blessing to you. I've only come to bless you. He said, so I wasn't sure what to do with him. He said, again, he said, I said, well, just tell me your name. And he said, the man looked at me and said, it's not important what my name is. I've only come to bless you and be a blessing to you. Brother Matthias said, I felt so badly. He said, I pulled out a chair. I said, well, here. He said, just please be seated. Just please be seated here. And he said, the man looked at me and he said, I've only come to be a blessing to you. And he said, I asked again his name. And he said, it was the same response. He said, he smiled at me and turned and slowly walked out. He said, I didn't know what to do. Never knew what to make of it totally. He said, but then later, and by that he meant a couple of weeks, I think, he said, I was really praying and crying to God and asking God for some things. And he said, in the middle of my intercessory prayers, I just cried out to God. And he said, I stopped. And he said, the Lord spoke to me and said, no one has ever asked me to be seated before. Lift your hands and let that flow through you. If God is coming himself in response to the prayers of his people, what are we headed for? What is about to happen? Powerful manifestations. Yes. That you may know that I am the Lord. I have come upon you in this soft manner. I will touch you, saith the Lord. My spirit is upon you. I long to be near to you. You are my friends, my children. I have placed my confidence in you. Speak for me, my children. I will give you the words. Stretch forth your hands for healing, and they shall shall be healed. Lift up my voice, and I will answer. Cry unto me, and I will fall, for I am walking through the earth in this hour. None shall stop me. None shall stop me. Rejoice, O my people who know me. If you will just lift your hands and let your voices out, the thing you're looking for will fall upon you. Jesus of Nazareth. That's it. Jesus, if you're still in the audience and you're not personally reaching and praying, interceding, reach over, take the hand of the person next to you, lay a hand on his shoulder. There will be tremendous ministry imparted. This place is filled with believers tonight. In the name of Jesus, these signs shall follow them that believe. These signs shall follow them that believe. Yes, yes.
Hey! Jesus.